I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Scam Out.
I'm Caitlin Brodnay.
I'm Sue Smith.
And we love scams. Guys, we love scams. We love you. We're all surviving.
Here we are again.
Somehow we're all alive. No, it's a good thing. I shouldn't take it for granted. But I just feel like every week I'm like, wow, things are
still happening. This is still our reality. It's very bad. Yeah.
And little things are blowing my mind. Like our downstairs neighbors, we live in an apartment building, are moving. And Alan and I, for a second, were like, oh, there's a change about to occur. Like, it's not a big deal. People come and go in New York all the time. But our neighbors are moving. I just gave them a bunch of fresh cut flowers from the garden. And I was like, oh my God, now I have to think about how to introduce our new neighbors. But all the flowers are gone out of the garden because I gave them to the other neighbor. Like,
there's a lot going on.
And it's not that big of a deal. But because of COVID, every little change is a big deal.
I will say I am still pregnant and it shouldn't be for much longer, hopefully, so you guys won't have to hear about this for much longer. But
actually, your thing's much more important than mine.
No. But I did make a big movement, like make a big decision to go to the new Target in Hollywood by myself this week. And boy, did that take it out of me. It was too much. Like, I just don't have the mobility for it. And then I was like doing this self-checkout and I had to ask the guy to help me three times. And then the third time he was like, oh, the pregnant lady wants me again. I'm like, oh my God.
You should have first sat in one of those motorized carts and told everyone to get out of your way.
I should have gotten a cart that I scanned myself.
You should have gotten a cart.
Yeah.
Did I? I thought I told you this, Sue, but I don't think I did. When I sprained my ankle, I went to Target with my mom in a motorized cart and I kept running her over with my cart.
And I'm sure that was not intentional.
I was like, oh, maybe I can move her cart up a little bit more, but I would always like click it a little bit and it would just slam into her. She had bruises all over her body.
I'm sure that was an accident. Definitely an accident.
But guys, we got to get to our show because our guest is so fun and I want to hear him laugh more because it just gives me joy.
We have the best guest this week. He is the nicest man in comedy. He is the author of several books. He's a writer on Desus Miro, and he hosts a game show, comedy game show podcast called Make My Day that comes out every Tuesday. Yes. Please welcome.
That's so exciting.
Josh Gondelman.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Hello. We're so excited.
I'm so excited to be here. My upstairs neighbor is moving. And I'm like, what are you, superheroes doing that now?
Yes.
It's so impressive to me.
It is. And then also a new person's coming in and it's like, are they going to play loud music? Like, I feel like an old-timey lady.
It's a lot to process.
It's a lot of thought.
Yeah. I'm curious because you know how you have those thoughts where you're like, because my upstairs neighbors have two kids. One is like a teen and one is a tween. And they get up early. I think they play sports. So they're just like 5:30 a.m. just like thud, 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 thud. And it's like, you know, that's just like what kids do. It's not, I'm not like mad at it. I'm never like hitting the ceiling with a broom.
It's apartment living.
But I am like, yeah, exactly. But I am like, oh, maybe that'll be better. But like knowing this year, it'll be worse where they're like, actually, it's just a whole apartment full of Roombas that run 24/7.
Right,
it's like a Roomba testing facility. So you just hear 24 hours a day.
I feel like that's 2020. It's like, how can it get much worse? Oh, yes, surprise, exactly. Again.
Playing mambo music, just going grit to town. Yeah, ours are huge potheads downstairs, which like at first I was like really anxious about because it like the smell. I was like, what if my son associates home with just tons of weed?
Yeah.
Like what if he grows up and goes like home sweet home? But it's fine. I've embraced it. And now I'm like, well, who knows what kind of other things that downstairs people will do now? Like
what could be worse?
What could be worse? It could be the smell of crack. And I don't know that smell yet, you know?
Is this what heroin smells like?
Oh, boy.
Oh, wait, I've told you really exciting news. He pooped in the potty. And for any parent listening, I didn't realize how excited I was, you guys. Like, I stared at that poop. It was like a huge poop in the potty. And I was like, this is the best moment of my life.
Wow.
That's incredible. I never had the same personal, you know, parent attachment. I don't have children of my own, but I used to teach preschool. And there would be days where there were kids, you know, because my younger kids, they were erratic. Yeah. So they were toilet trained, but sometimes they lost track of their training and just decided to wing it. Yeah. Right. They passed. It was one of those training courses that you just do online and you click through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. University
they passed. They
weren't Phoenix.
Like, they didn't grasp it necessarily.
They just had to get certified. Mm-hmm. So there, there were days where I was like, oh, thank God you made it.
All right, that's the latest from us, Josh. Welcome to the pod.
Perfect. Happy to be here.
Josh, you brought us so many scams. I'm very excited.
So I like am not an expert. Like you two are such experts.
We are.
And you like go deep in scams. You like study scams. I realized that I'm just like constantly almost victimized by just the lowest grade scams.
That's okay.
And I mostly don't fall for them, but sometimes I like super do. So the one that's been getting me recently, this is just like, I'm a rube. If you see me in public, try to trick me. It'll probably work.
Give it a shot, guys.
Yeah, just do it. Email me from a fake address. Say you're a cousin.
He'll be nice to you. Like, that's who he is.
Yeah.
He's so nice.
Oh, you need me to send you a whole bunch of DVD gift cards or whatever? Sure. Yeah. So this is the one that's been getting me. And this is like this is like going to be a how-to for scammers because it's so easy that if any scammer is listening, you'll be like, oh, I could just do that.
I'm sure we have scammers listening. People do study.
Perfect. Caitlin, I don't know what your building situation is like in New York, but we live in a building with like 8 apartments.
Yeah.
And there's like a buzzer to get in the front door, but no video component. So we can't see who's there. And once you're in the building, you're in the building. There's not like a second door. And it's not like a fancy doorman building. So
same. We don't even have a buzzer. You can just walk right in.
Okay. So when we get packages, they just buzz and you go, who is it? And then they go,
Amazon.
Yeah. And then they come in and they leave the package. And sometimes they used to in the before times, we kind of convinced the regular route people, the people who do our regular route, to like bring it past the second door, which you can just open and like put it around the corner so that you can't just see a bunch of packages from the street.
Sure.
But I think during the pandemic, they've just had more to deliver. And so they just kind of leave it in the front vestibule.
Right.
You know, occasionally, I think like supposed to, I don't want to say supposed to, but I think like, you know, some of the services occasionally we'll get something at our door. We're on the second floor. So they'll go and just like drop it in front of our door. Again, I think the people that do this work, they're under a lot of like stress. They're like
totally
essential workers. You know what I mean? So I don't want to be like, they should bring it to my door. That's whose fault this is. But when the stuff gets left right in the front vestibule, sometimes you can see, oh, I ordered a pair of sneakers, and you can see like the Adidas sticker on it.
Right.
And which it make, and then all a person coming by has to do is hit the buzzer and you go, hello. And they go, FedEx. And you go, all right. And you buzz. And then they can just steal your stuff.
Jeez,
and
that's true.
That happens a bunch.
What have you had stolen?
I've had at least one pair of sneakers stolen.
Ugh.
Sometimes it's like stuff where it's like, okay, that's gotta go. Like, that's, who cares? You know, it's like, I'm not gonna file a complaint. But we, you know, it'll be like, if a box is big, we've had someone like come in, kind of like rip open a big tar. And it's not just my stuff, it's like the whole building. So we try to like look out for each other and bring the packages around the corner and whatnot.
Ugh.
But sometimes, you know, they just get to you faster than you get to it. So it is, I've had a pair of sneakers stolen, maybe two, over the last 3 years. There's like a package of like pet stuff that's not for our dog that's just like open, and someone stole like half the dog food.
Oh,
which,
my
like,
God.
Honestly, if you're stealing dog food,
you need it.
On one hand, yes,
and half
right.
of it.
On one hand, I'm like, hey, that's low. But then it's like, well, if you're stealing dog food, it's like, you're not going to flip there's, it. You know what I mean?
The dog's
there's another
eat.
Story.
Yeah.
But also the fact that they only took half of it means that they also have sympathy for the dog that lives at that residence.
Yeah.
For the dog, right. Well, it's also pretty heavy, so it's tough to run off with. Yeah. It's wet food. Cans.
Oh, yeah.
So that's one of those things where it's like, it's like a Hemingway story, right? Like, for sale, baby shoes never worn. It's like, dog food stolen. You know what? Keep it.
Like,
you know what? Enjoy it.
Because you're not doing it. It's not like fun to steal dog food. You're not like huffing it, putting it in a bag.
It's cumbersome.
Yeah. It's because
wet
you need
if you pack it in your pocket.
It's because you need to, yeah, to feed a dog. So like, I get it. But it's, this happens not infrequently.
Oh,
and
no.
It's, so this, let's go a layer deeper.
Yeah.
Because
let's go.
A lot of people have those Ring cameras that you put on your front door. But those are like, now I looked it up, and they're now like just partnered with a lot of police departments.
Really?
So like,
what?
Yeah. Not all of them.
Can you choose to opt out or opt in?
I think you can opt out.
Okay.
I don't know like what the situation is on each specific one, but like, I think they have like a deal with police officers. They don't receive ongoing or live video access, and you can decline requests, but they give. So, okay. The partnerships, this is from the Washington Post. And this was from last summer. Mm-hmm. They let police request the video recorded within a certain time and area, helping officers see footage from the company's millions of internet connected cameras installed nationwide. The company says, this is what Amazon says, officers don't receive ongoing or live video access, so they can't just like monitor, which like, sure. Okay.
Yeah,
I believe that.
Yeah. I don't believe that. I don't believe it.
Homeowners can decline the request, which Ring sends via email, thanking them for making your neighborhood a safer place. And this number, 400 police departments, was like, that came out after. It started in spring 2018, and it was, they thought that, like, this is still from the Washington Post, the civil liberties advocates thought that it was like less than 300, but then last year they're like, oh, actually it's at least 400 police departments. So that, I don't want to like, I forget, like, I don't want my stuff to get stolen, but I also don't want a device on the outside of my building that's just going to be like, Amazon can turn it on and send it to the police, which is the thing I think is happening, you know, because once you're at that level. Yeah, I feel like that is that's like a low grade conspiracy theory, is that like, if there's a camera.
Yeah.
Right. If there's a camera that the police can request access to, Amazon's probably just giving
without your knowledge, yeah. Like just at any old time.
Amazon is the cops, like, for sure. They're working together.
They're buddies.
So I feel like this is a scam within a scam.
Yeah.
Because it seems the solution to the scam is like a deeper scam. So what I've been doing is, and this is such a small thing, but so this is the other thing. There was like some, you know, there were a series of notes posted in the lobby that were like,
okay,
please don't let anyone in unless they... unless you know them.
Yeah.
And then it was like, please, if you know, don't put the packages right at the front. And that went by the wayside because people are overextended.
Right.
And then it was like, please only let people in when you're like expecting a package. But my wife gets books. She works for an independent bookstore chain. Mm-hmm. And so she gets, and she has a podcast about books. So she gets sent books from publishers all the time.
Ooh, let's plug her podcast. What's the podcast?
It's called The Maris Review. Her name is Maris Kreisman. It's a great podcast. She's such a great interviewer, such a great reader.
Amazing.
Terrific listen. And she has great taste. And so we're kind of always expecting a package, which is our fault. You know what I mean? Like, we work from home. Which that's not our fault.
But it's okay.
I'm like, always expecting a package because I have issues. Okay.
But don't blame yourself.
It's fine.
Know? Right. I just mean, like, it's not like, oh, I just order so many fancy hats or whatever that I don't know when.
I need a new hat every day.
New hat every day. I've got a blog called 365 Hats, and I get a new hat every day.
And I review it, damn it.
Yeah. I wear it, and then I take phone videos of people just kicking the shit out of me when I wear these big stupid hats.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
So the solution is basically, like, whenever we have to trust that when someone is like, FedEx, I'll be like, okay, probably really FedEx. But then I immediately go down, you know, I don't leave it down in the vestibule anymore. And so but it's like, okay, throw on shoes, throw on a mask, because, you know, there's someone down there. So I don't want to, you know, be inconsiderate of their health, and hope that, you know, they're like hacks. Like, if I open the door and I hear the, like, bloop, bloop of them scanning the thing, I'm like,
that's real.
Okay, this is a real package.
That's smart.
Yeah. And so I'll like, wait till they go so I don't clog up the little lobby space with them.
Right.
But yeah, so I just like have shoes by the door that I'll throw on and put on a mask and just like run down like a goblin and just take all
the
stuff.
But also, what are you going to do? Like, what do you have? Like a bulletproof vest? You're like, right. That's my stuff. And he's like, no, fuck off. You're like, okay.
You're stealing my dog food.
I think mostly it's not to like catch I'm not like,
you don't want to catch a predator, somebody. Right. Yeah.
It's right. I'm not trying to catch a predator, but it's so that like, if it, assuming that it's a real thing, I'll just get it so that there's not just like tempting stuff hanging out by our front door that would induce someone else to try. You know what I mean?
Like, but Josh, you live in a nice neighborhood. Why are there so many thieves?
That's why there's thieves.
You know, yeah, they know.
Because it's a nice neighborhood.
I feel like there's thieves anywhere. And it's also like that kind of thing where, like, if people are materially disadvantaged, you know what I mean? Or like,
if you want to
dealing
steal,
with poverty
steal.
Or something. Yeah. It's like the kind of thing that like, it just like is so easy. It's like such an easy scam that I'm like, oh, this isn't like violent crime. This is like
the needs there. They will fill that need. There's a lot of other things going on right now.
And if it's like an Amazon package, it costs Amazon nothing anyway. So
that's what I was
going to
say, Josh. Do you report all these? Then you get a new one in the mail?
I reported one pair of shoes, but it's also like because they, you know, I can go like it wasn't delivered, but then they go, well, it was, you know what I mean? I'm like always worried. They'll be like, but it was delivered.
Oh, just dispute it. I've gotten so many things. I've got so many things.
I don't want to screw over the driver. That's my thing.
No, you're
I don't
want
to screw over the man or woman who's like, oh yeah, he signed for this.
Yeah,
and then they just left it
in
the lobby.
Yeah.
No, don't worry about it. They have so many people. There's so many things happening that, like, we've had so many listeners also tell us about things they've gotten twice because somebody said they delivered it and they didn't, and then it returned to their thing. So don't even, I got an H&M vase that never came. Somebody stole it while we were, a vase. It's a fancy vase from this blogger. She thought it was whatever. It's stupid. It's a vase.
I didn't know they made housewares.
Yeah, they made houses. There's H&M Home. And it was his vase, and I got my full refund back, and I just had to complain. So you just had to be a little squeaky.
I'll try to be squeakier.
You can do it.
Because I don't want to screw anyone over, but I want to not waste money on stuff that gets stolen.
But the Ring doorbell thing, reminds me of DNA tests. So, like, cops use DNA tests, too, and they just use it willy-nilly to identify criminals, and you don't have to give permission for that. Ugh.
Yeah.
It's so invasive.
I've never done one of those.
Don't.
Partly because I'm intellectually incurious. Just
a
real
care.
Blank slate up top.
Yeah.
Don't care. I don't want to know. Like, I don't want to know anything more than my relatives will volunteer.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
I don't
want to
be uncovering families. I don't want to be spitting in a tube uncovering family secrets.
That's funny.
What information is going to come of that where I'm like, cool, and not just like,
Grandma?
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Is it really going to help your life
oh, no.
in this moment?
Right.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, I haven't done it. But yeah, that's such a weird thing. Like anything that – that like turns your information over to law enforcement without your like knowledge and consent is so stressful to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the DNA tests were originated by, I think it was Scientologists or Mormons or Jehovah's Witness. I know I'm putting them all in together.
Or Amish.
Or Amish. There was some religious group that started it because they wanted to, I think, baptize people that were dead. There's this,
really?
Guys, I'm sorry. I'll do a way better thing on ScamWow, I'm sure. But yeah, we had a couple people tell us that because you can baptize people that have already been deceased, they're the ones who created the original DNA. So you could find if your ancestors were of that religion. And then, like, I think you get more brownie points the more people that you baptize or bring into the church, dead or alive.
Oh my God. How much do you have to hate yourself to be like, I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to go back and baptize some ancestors. Like,
and it's like to also like invent new science to do this thing that
so
is
creepy.
Like fully faith-based, like not, you know, I
right.
don't even want to say
science
like
science mix completely with faith.
Right.
They could already be in hell.
They could.
You don't know where they are.
They're busy.
Great. I'm just going to like, let's just say we baptized great, great, great grandpa.
Yes.
Alan or whatever. You know what I mean? Like we don't have to know in his DNA. It's like, oh, good. He's from Turkmenistan. Perfect. Oh, now we can yeah. send him to heaven.
That sounds like some Mormon shit.
I know. I'm looking it up. I think it was. I think Alex told us. Hold on. I'll get that. I'll get it back to you guys later. Let's focus on you, Josh.
Josh.
But that's one of those sciences. Yeah. I'm so credulous. If you were like, hey, Josh, can you just move this like whole couch for me? Just like carry it up 4 flights of stairs. I'm just not feeling it. I'd be like, totally get it. And I would do it. But like anything that's like a new technology, I'm like 1,000-year-old skeptic. Like I'm
oh
not quite at
my
the
husband
age.
My husband is like that too.
Is it? My dad is like an OG technology skeptic where like when we first got a computer with a built-in a webcam, he was the first person I know who like put electrical tape over and was like, I don't want him spying. And I was like,
great,
you're out of your
him.
Mind. And then like 15 years later, they're like, oh yeah, everyone can just look at that. You know, like any, you can get hacked. It's like this, it's constantly up. You're like, oh, he was right.
Yes.
Ow.
Yes. Okay, guys. But it was the Mormons.
It was, see, I knew
the
it.
Mormons invented 23andMe.
Yeah, they're using
that's it. Actually, that's a title. That's a title for one Mormon guy and his wives.
It's like 23andMe.
The new sitcom.
23andMe. Yeah. New that's sitcom so coming to ABC.
Amazing.
Wow. Okay. That's
Josh, you also got a scam text, a flurry
yes.
scam text.
Okay. I found this. Because I was like, I tried to look for it the other day. I thought this was like 3 years ago, but this is how long this year has felt.
Yep.
That I truly, if you were to be like, Josh, when did you get this text? I would have been like 2017.
Right.
And it was this January.
Right. Which might as well have been 2017.
Yeah,
exactly. So, because it was such a different era. So I got this flirty text that was like, hey, I heard you're going to be in town. We should meet up if you're around. And at first I was like, oh, I don't have your number. Like I thought it was like a little flirty, but I was like, oh, maybe it's like someone I've known since grade school who would like call me babe. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, oh, this could be like my friend Laura, who I've known since I was 10.
Right.
And she's just like, what's up, babe? You going to be in town? So I was like, oh, I don't have your number in my phone. And so then I get this text. Oh, well there, LMAO, thought this was someone else I've been speaking to on Tinder from Malden. Forgive me for the confusion.
Great.
Okay.
So we're done.
So I think it's over. And I say, ha, no problem at all. I hope you two connect.
So genuine.
And then I get...
So nice, Josh. So
well, that's like, you know, no reason for me to be snippy. They didn't do anything wrong. They're like, oh, I thought you were someone else.
We want them Easy. To find love. Like,
they admitted it was a mistake. Okay.
Yeah.
So then I get this text. LOL, get to know me better and you can see more.
Oh.
Oy, yeah, yo,
yeah.
Ooh, was there a picture?
Yeah. No picture.
Okay.
So then I say, I think this was to the wrong person too, maybe? And then... then I get this follow-up text immediately. TBH, I'm a little drunk, LOL. Been really lonely out here. Malden. Just like throwing in the name of the city.
That's kind of relatable.
Malden.
Malden.
Yeah, Malden. I'm here for this weekend. What's your name anyways, LOL?
Wow.
So And I thought, I actually assumed at first when I got the response, like when this person just kind of kept going, I was like, this is a man who thinks I'm a woman.
Okay.
That's like what's happening. Because it just was like, I tweeted a screen grab and I just said, this guy has a relentless commitment to shooting his shot.
Yeah.
And because I just thought it was a guy who was like, fuck it, I'm drunk. Are you in Malden? I'm in Malden. Let's do this.
I like texting. And you're texting me back. We're a match.
Yeah, exactly. I tweeted it and other people were like, oh, my, like my husband got this text too. Or like, yeah, someone sent me another one that was not to be. Oh, this is so funny.
I'm excited.
Not to be every other kid in Methuen that just, so Methuen is a town in like northern Massachusetts on the New Hampshire border. This was someone else tweeted it at me. Not to be any kid, every other kid in Methuen that just wants to get with you. I want to be treated like a princess, and that's why I said I would spoil you every day. I would let you know every morning how lucky I am to have you, and every night, I just really like you. And so, like, it seems like this is some kind of scam.
Yeah.
Hey there, it's Jenna. This is another one. I'm going to be in Bakersfield for the week. We actually got to get together while I'm here. I know you're, let me know when you're free, which is like kind of what my first one was. And then this guy said, wrong number, sorry, this isn't your friend blowing you off. And then the next text was, oh wow, excuse the text. I'm sorry I've been drinking this vacay, pretty wasted, LOL. I think I texted the wrong number. Can't believe I did that, LMAO. And then this guy sent a picture of like, I don't know what like monster character it is. He looks kind of like Hellboy, like Ron Perlman in Hellboy. And then the person replied,
but what is he turning trying me to on? Do?
Yeah. No, this is definitely someone in another country like trying to get.
Yeah. Fielding.
But they want to meet in person.
I don't know.
I think they're trying to feel these relationships. I think they're trying to get out there. They say like a girl, like they're trying to sort of catfish these people. And then.
Yeah.
No, they don't. They want to say that. I'm sure they'll send them video and then say like, oh, can you send me $20 for the train or something? Like, then it'll go to money pretty quickly. I bet if you kept going.
That's what I think. But so many people sent me. I mean, obviously, nobody's going to send me one.
Because it can be done from a computer in another country. Like, it's very easy.
Yeah.
And if you say you're a drunk woman.
Obviously, no one's going to send me like, oh, this happened to me and I sent them $8,000. Right. I'm way in debt. But like so
and
many
all my
people
naked
send
pictures,
me like,
yeah.
Oh, no, my nudes.
All my nudes are out.
I have been sending nudes to 23.
Oh, I knew it.
To be like, does this look like anyone you know?
Is this one of your wives?
Can you bless these body parts? Something.
Yeah. Send this to heaven. It's like, does this look like my great-grandpa?
Oh, got it baptized.
My great-grandpa and I had similar junk. Can you confirm? He'd love to be blessed.
We would love
we
to.
We would love
to. Can my great-grandpa go to heaven if I assume he looked like this naked?
LMAO.
LMAO. So drunk, 23 and me.
Wasted, LOL. I'm a woman, Josh.
But yeah, it's like very, like, it's so sinister, right? Because like you were saying, Caitlin, it like preys on guys being like, this chick I've never heard of before is drunk. Sick.
Like, but they get a lot.
Jackpot. I'm positive they do. Or like, unfortunately, also a younger kid, like somebody who just turned 20 or something is like, wow, I'm never texted by girls with tits. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah. And it's so specific. Like, it has the town name in it. Like, yeah.
So they must just go by like,
zip code
555-555-555-555, right? And then just be like, I'm in whatever town is like local to that area.
Wild. I wish someone would follow it through and see what they're after.
I know.
Next time, guys, we'll follow it. Anybody listening, if you followed it through, you can tell us anonymously. Yes. We have a hot tip hotline because you know I love a phone call, 347-509-9414. And you can just tell us, I sent a couple nudes or an armpit or something.
Or like
and
$5.
Then they asked
for
money.
We're not going to shame you. Yeah. We just want to know.
No. Yes, we'll never release your name, but we want to know all the details.
I got so many replies.
You did? That's exciting.
I so many people, like probably 6 to 10 people were like,
gosh,
this has happened to me as well.
And are they all from Massachusetts?
No, from all over. One was from Bakersfield, so I assume California, but I don't think there's a Bakersfield, Massachusetts. But I think a lot of people follow me from Massachusetts, so there are a lot of people like, Malden! But yeah, it was such a funny scam to me. But nobody got to that point, right? Nobody sent me the point of like, oh, hey, here's my Cash App. Could you just send me $5 for a drink? Because I'm like getting loose and I'll send you a video or whatever.
That's what I think it is.
I think I'm getting scammed. This is a voluntary scam, but in my Facebook groups, like I've talked about this before, but there's like, I'm in like a couple pregnancy Facebook groups. And
the
someone
anal
will be,
ladies, we love
yeah,
them.
Yeah, the anal ladies,
they're very pro-anal. They're very vocal about it.
And they think anal can induce your pregnancy, but
they talk all about it.
Sometimes somebody will be like, wow. I can't afford groceries or like, I don't have any money. And I'll be just like a couple times I've been just like, what's your Venmo? And sent them like some money.
Wow.
But that could very well be a scammer. And yeah. then this girl on TikTok had this really bad sob story about how she had to go to Peru to get her wisdom teeth fixed during the holidays because her parents couldn't afford insurance what? Here. Yeah. And it was this viral TikTok. And so I sent her some money for her wisdom teeth. I'm getting scammed left and right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. How is she doing? How's her mouth look? Is she swollen? Did it actually happen?
She seemed very genuine. Like she just needed a couple more grand to get them done here.
Oh, God.
I know. I'm getting scammed.
Wow. But I'm okay. So there are things that are like scam adjacent. You know, sometimes a person will like need money mm-hmm. and they'll be like, hey, can you give me money? I'm $5 short for of sure. this Greyhound bus ticket.
Especially
home.
Comedians.
And they're probably not going to use it.
We know so comedians. Many comedians who are always $5 short.
But when that happens, I'm always like, okay, if I have the $5 and this person needs the $5, I'm like not going to worry about or judge whether it's like for the right. bus ticket. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing where it's like, I know that this is not a fully transparent transaction, mm-hmm. but it's like, try to you, like you were saying, like if you Venmo someone $20 for food, and what's the worst that happens is like you're out $20. Sure. You know what I mean?
They use it on drugs. Who cares?
It's not right. your choice to I mean, say what right. they should use it on. Like you can't really be their moral compass. If you want to give, you give and you let it go.
And I think sometimes that money in Venmo yeah. is just like your funny money anyway. Like it's not real.
This just like built up. You're like, oh, I have an yeah. $80 Venmo balance. Like,
I know. Here you go.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Oh, this is not a scam. This was just a lie. Can I tell you about a lie that I saw that was really good? I mean, this was years ago, probably 10, 11 years ago. And I was in downtown Boston. I was in Chinatown. Mm-hmm. And I was in the T, like about to get on the subway. And there was a guy on the phone who was doing the least convincing scam I've ever heard.
Oh, no.
Because he's talking to his a lover, a paramour.
Sure.
And they're having a fight. He's on a payphone. This is how long ago it was. He's on a payphone. And he's yelling because it's a train station. It's loud. But also, he's a little heated. And he's like, I'm catching them at the end of this fight. Or maybe it just went way long. But yeah. Not the beginning.
Right.
Not the beginning of the fight. And he's going, I don't need you. I'm at this party. And there's so many, I'm paraphrasing, so many women here. Aww. Like, I don't need you. I'm at this. This is a incredible. Yeah, this party is awesome. I can get with any chick in here. And then a train goes by. It's like very clear. It's so loud. It's a train.
It's a train.
It couldn't be anything but a train.
Right next to him.
And he waits for the train to leave. And then he's just like, yeah, this party is happening. It is going off.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this party's on a train track, but there are so many women on this train track.
Mm-hmm. Come on, ride the train. I'm the train. Here it is. Here I am.
Instant karma.
That's amazing.
That level of lying,
Commitment.
I think almost rises to the level of scam.
Yes.
Because to me, it was just like so blatant. Like, it wasn't even just like, oh, I'll be home. What do you mean? I just stepped out to get groceries. I'll be home in 5 minutes. This is like truly he's having a fight with a woman in his life and is like created this whole situation where his great life. But he's like has the confidence to do this from a payphone in a train station.
Amazing. I love
one
that.
One of the best.
Yeah, why not?
A king.
Hats off.
Anyway, that guy texted me to tell me he's involved.
Right, he's not doing anything.
Yeah, he's very successful. In Malden with all the ladies in trains.
I have another one if you want. This is one that I've fallen for.
Okay.
So on an early date with my wife, I went to a Coney Island Cyclones game with some friends. And we left early because I was not invested in the outcome. None of us were invested
sure,
in the outcome
as it happens.
Of the Coney Island Cyclones game. You know, minor league baseball game, I mean, I salute everybody playing for like pursuing their dreams and being probably an excellent athlete, but I was like, oh, I don't know any of these players, all the Coney Island teams.
No, you're
like,
not named so, with those players.
So we left early and we were just walking down the boardwalk, which was a lot of fun. We were with our friends, Shinoa and Jim. Shout out to Shinoa and Jim. Hey. And they left. They're like, oh, we're gonna head home. And my now wife, I can't believe, truly, I don't mean to be just like a bumbling straight guy comedian. The fact that she married me after seeing me at this one of my all-time low moments is truly a credit to the generosity of her spirit.
I love it.
We were on the boardwalk and there was one of those games where you like throw a ping pong ball into a cup and you have to get it to total 20 points.
Sure.
And it was like, whatever, $2 to play. And then if you run out of, you get 10. Take 10, you loser. You won't be able to do it.
Go crazy.
And so I get very close. I get close enough that they're like, I go, 10, I'm pretty close. But, you know, you win some, you lose some, you lose some. And I go to walk away and he's like, well, for $4, I give you another ball.
Always.
Of course.
And I go, all right. And so I throw the next ball and I think I got even sunk that one. And it got close but didn't get me as many points as I need. And he goes, I go, well, you know, we had a good run.
Yeah.
This was a good time. He goes, but look, if you give me $8, I'll give you another ball. And I go, I look at my wallet and I go, all right, $8. We're so close.
Yeah.
I'm gonna win my lady this
fish.
This stuffed animal, bird. Right? Mm-hmm. Just one more toss, $8? Sure. A small price to pay for being a boardwalk hero.
Right.
So I throw it and I miss. And I go, fuck. And he goes, well, look, for $16. Guess how much money I was taken for by this carnival game.
I say $40.
I say $100.
$80.
Oh,
yeah. God. Yeah. That checks out.
It gets worse.
It gets worse?
It's not an even 80. It was probably like 76 because it's like all power of two, right? So I think the most expensive one I spent was like $32, right? Like spend one throw for $80, but it was like 16 and then 32.
Yes, it's adding up. And you've already spent, however, like 25 at this point. You're like, what's another 10? Like, I'm already in it. Yeah.
I'm going to get the thing, right? They know what they're doing. Right. And so I spend the like $80. It's humiliating. It's like so much money. I was like, oh, people are starving.
Yeah.
Like, I'm starving. $80 losing a carnival game. I'm the problem. Maris just texted me from the other room that she texted me that she knows what story I'm telling. She can hear me like through the wall. So we go to walk away and we get like 8 steps. So I go, he goes, okay, for $64. And I go, dude, I don't have money. And yeah. I can't go to an ATM to take out $60 to throw one ping pong ball.
Yeah.
Goes, yeah,
all right, okay. All right. And you know, he was doing this stuff about like, all right, well, look, you'll make her really happy. Yeah, you win the bear. Yeah. You know, the whole time. But so $80 and we go to walk away and I'm like, oh, like what kind of like pissing contest did I get into with this carny? I just feel like such a like a tool. And he goes, so we get 8-10 steps away and he goes, hey. And I turn back and I'm like, what now?
What,
like, come on. And he goes, I want you to have this. And he holds up the stuffed animal and he just gives it to me out of pity because I spent so much money on this game that I cleared his overhead.
Oh, and for then sure. For sure.
And he felt so bad. And the stuffed animal, it's like if you described Winnie the Pooh to like an 8-year-old who didn't know what Winnie the Pooh was and were like, sculpt this. and we call it Vinny the Pooh because it just looks like it's like knockoff Winnie
pointy
the Pooh.
Probably. Yeah.
And we still, it's, oh yeah, it's not soft. It's like, it's one of those that's full of like, it's just like a soft skin over like hard styrofoam.
Yeah.
It is, I would say, without question, the worst thing we own.
But maybe that's what made Maris fall in love with you. She was like,
maybe.
This idiot. I gotta protect him.
Vinny the Pooh was magic. Yeah,
he's getting scammed left and right unless I step in. But yeah, so I think she was like ready to ditch it when we moved a few years ago, when we moved within Brooklyn. And I was like, we are not throwing away this bear that I spent $80 on.
The most expensive gift you've ever given her.
most expensive gift I've ever given her. Today.
Yeah, today.
Anniversaries, weddings. It's all second.
Vin kills it.
I don't even know where it is. We like put it, we like made the deal that we wouldn't throw it away. Like it wasn't like a negotiation, but we were like, okay, we should keep it. But we'll put it somewhere in the house where we never have to see it. And I think it's like, it's either, I think it's high on a shelf in our closet in the bedroom that it's like,
you don't
above
see him, but Vin sees you. That's
sees
all
us.
That matters.
Yeah, yeah.
He needs,
well, he's
he
watching
needs
over
watch
us.
Down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like our, he's like our Ring camera. He sends video of us right to the police in New York.
This plays into the, what Dave Hill was telling us about the sunk cost fallacy. So like,
it's a real thing.
If you've sunk money in, you're like, I've got to be getting closer. So I have to put more money in. And it just doesn't work like that.
Yes, it does not. You're right. Like if you spend $16 getting scammed on a carnival game, you do not like owe it. Like it's not like a wise investment to spend another $16.
Yeah, it's not. It's still just like a ping pong ball in a cup. But I'll say that carny was one of the good ones. As much as he took from you, no, but he still gave you Vinny the Pooh.
He still gave me the thing.
Because he could have just said no. Like,
no, but I feel like him giving it to him is like, you just got your ass handed to you.
Yeah. I do. That's what it felt like.
But maybe he's like, look, this is what I do. This is my profession. This is my trade. And this guy deserves a Vin the Pooh.
It felt to me like he just beat me at basketball and then signed his autograph across my shirt.
Right.
Like Zorro, like I got Zorro'd by a carny, like just the letter Z, but it's this horrible but bear.
Maris saw this all go down. How did she react?
She was very gracious. I also, you know how when you are in a relationship for a long time with somebody, you get that like communication of like, oh, hey, didn't we have somewhere to be? And they go,
yes.
Oh, yeah, we should leave. Yes. And then you get out of there and you're like, we didn't have anywhere to be. And you're like, yeah, this party stinks though. And so we hadn't been dating long enough that we had that down. So I kept going like, wow, you know, it's I spent $16. I gave it my best. And like, we're pretty far from home. So we should. And she was like, oh, we're cool. Like, I don't have to get up for work. And I was like,
she enabled the carny.
It was not her fault. I wasn't putting down the signals clearly enough for how new the relationship was. Yeah. So I don't blame her. Like, cause I would be, and I wasn't as strongly as I state it now. I was probably like, oh, do we have time for this? You know what I mean? Like, do I have time?
Sure. You weren't really good at it.
I was not. Yes. And I think she was probably like, do we have time for you to throw one more ping pong ball? Sure, if you'd like to. Like, she was, you know, yeah.
I it's got not all the
like,
time in the world.
how long is this going to take? 90? 120 seconds?
And so yeah, too polite.
So it was not her fault, but it was like we just didn't have our signals straight yet.
Sure, sure.
And so I was like, in my head, I was desperately like, please free me from this prison of my own toxic masculinity. And she was like, hey, no, this is fun. We're doing a boardwalk stuff. We're on a date.
Stay in prison.
Yeah, stay in prison. But that's like what, yeah. So it was so funny. And I was like sweating. I felt like every poker movie where it was just like, oh God, I'm risking it all.
There's a zoom in suddenly on your face and you're like, I know, I'm making a bad choice.
Yeah. And you could see, I was like, well, I could give you $30 or I could give you my only son's birth certificate. Just like risking way more than I could afford.
Wait, this leads me to another question. How are you with gambling? Like, do you gamble? Are you a gambler or not?
I'm pretty moderate.
Okay.
But I have also had gamble, like not long-term problems, but like one time I was at a comedy club. This was like 2008,
this year.
Maybe.
No,
this was this year. I was at a comedy club. I was at a comedy club 2 months ago. Nobody was there. Couldn't tell why. I was like emceeing this weekend of shows and it was like $50 a show for whatever it was. 5-6 shows. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, and they were putting me, I think they were putting me up. So it was like,
nice.
Okay, I'm a newish comic. And like, that's not nothing, like $300 and like room and board. And like, I had to, you know, drive myself down and back from Connecticut, but that's all built in, whatever. So I was not like looking down my nose at that money, but the Sunday, like before the last show, the headliner and then the other opener who, you know, we're both getting paid substantially more than I was, were like, oh, let's go to Mohegan Sun or whatever. Let's go we'll play a little poker. And I lost, I think, my whole paycheck playing poker to the point that the headliner like gave me a bunch of money, like gave me like I think it was like $80 back. I was just like, hey man, here, like you shouldn't have taken that hit so hard. And I was like, I was like early 20s and was like, I just want to be hang out with the guys.
Yes.
Like, you know, just like bad at poker, just like threw away $250 in like an hour and a half.
Of course,
like an
you
idiot.
Did.
Again, once again, a prisoner of your own masculinity.
Well, it was less about like proving that I was a man, but I was like, I just want to like have fun hanging
with
out.
The comics, and it's like comics on their off time. It's so fun, and you want to build relationships.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, this is the activity we're doing. And I guess there was a little toxicity, so, and that I wasn't like, oh, I certainly can't afford this. And like an adult man, I will recuse myself from the proceedings.
Sure, I'll watch you lose. So
it was right. It wasn't like a macho thing, but it was like I should have like just grown
There's
up
the
and
community
been like,
aspect.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And like I was that we were all there together. I couldn't just be like, well, see you guys later.
I'll sit at the buffet.
I don't like that feeling, which is not a shock. Yeah. Nobody likes like losing $250. Mm-hmm. But what I mean is like I've never gotten like good enough at any kind of gambling where like you get the rush that you're like, oh, this is what
the
I'm chasing.
Risk.
I just, I just
Same.
Like hanging out and like playing cards. Yeah.
Same. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can never like close a deal. I used to play chess with my brother when I was little. And I'm still at the point where like I can play chess. I can get down to where we each have like four pieces left. But when it comes to an end game, I got no idea. Like I'll just move pawns back and forth forever. Yeah. So I feel like it's like that a little bit.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And it's not like I but like even with there are games that I play that I'm not good at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I'll occasionally play a video game or like a sport or, you know, some kind of thing where I'm like, I'm not good at, which I don't, I prefer to do things that I'm good at. I'm very, I'm very vain and prideful.
Sure,
and
yeah,
easily embarrassed. We all are. But I think with gambling, it's like one of those things where like, I stay away mostly because I know that the losing feels worse to me than I think the winning would feel good most of the time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, I could bet enough money that I'm nervous and uncomfortable, but like, that's not fun for me. Some people it is fun for.
No.
Yeah. And you can get wrapped into it. I know that's the thing. I won like $180 the first time I stepped into a casino when I was old enough. And I was like, wow, I'm a genius. Like it really, I got that rush the first time I played the first game.
Oh yeah.
And then I, you know, lost a bunch and went home with 80, but I was still like, I still have that little like inkling every time I go, and I'm like, what if this is that crazy moment?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. Oh, we were in Vegas. Maris and I were in Vegas last summer. I was performing at a festival and we were staying at a casino because that's what the hotels are. And we went downstairs to the like the gaming floor and we played the Titanic slot machine. There was like, which was like, oh, this is fun. And we put in like $10 or something, and we sat for half an hour and won like $45.
Ooh.
And we were like, oh, that's enough that we can go out and buy lunch. So we like cashed out and felt great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wasn't like, this 40 could be 400 by dinner time
and we
could really make something of ourselves. So I'm like, it's not that I'm like a bad gambler. It's just that carny was pushing my buttons.
He changed your life.
He knew what he was doing. It was psychological
and now
torture.
You've saved money since. So maybe there is a weird blessing in this, Vinny the Pooh.
Yes, I think you're right.
Now, Josh, have you been the victim of any other scams?
Let me think. Those are the big ones. I get a lot of those robocalls that are like, please call me right now about your car insurance. And I'm like, I don't have a car.
Today I answered one and it was a machine that said, oh, I'm so happy you answered. So it was somebody casually had recorded that jaunty response, but it was like still I heard a click and I hung up right away. My husband, because it was on speakerphone, he's like, wait, who was that? I was like, no, that is a recording of a machine that casually says something to keep you on the phone while they store your number. I was so annoyed. That bothered me so much. Oh, wait, we have here too. Did you want to chat at all about Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum heist?
Oh, yes. So this is my favorite. Yes, of course.
So let's talk about your favorite heist.
This is, okay. As I mentioned, from Massachusetts, I talk about it all the time. I am very uninteresting. But
no, you're just consistent.
We went in. I'm consistent. Yes, that's right. I bring it regularly. Yeah. What do I bring? Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
It's on time. Yeah. So there's a museum in downtown Boston called the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, which is this one old rich lady's private collection of art. And she left it in like a trust that it would be preserved, her estate and this all this art would be preserved as a museum. And one of the stipulations of the museum was that like they could never move anything.
Oh.
Exactly as she was like, this painting goes here and that one goes there and then I'm dead and that's forever.
I love it.
It's like a very fascinating, and she was like a collector of art. I think that she was probably like a problematic figure as she was a rich person 100 years ago. So like, you don't want to dig too deep. She's not like the greatest lady, I think.
Yeah.
Just scratch the surface. Yeah.
Not big fans. Yeah.
But she was not like she didn't curate the museum like a museum. She was just like, I like this one as much as that one. And they go next to each other.
Okay.
But now when you go, there was a big art heist in 1990.
Wow.
And I think it's the largest, the most valuable unsolved art heist still to this day.
Still unsolved. Okay.
Still unsolved. And some of the paintings were cut out of the frames. And because of the endowment of the museum, they just are like that. is my understanding. So there's just like empty.
Because you can't take them down?
You can't take them down and you can't replace them. So there's just empty frames, I believe, still.
It's crazy to me that that's the place that you would take paintings from. She doesn't have a taste in art. You know what I mean? She's just like, whatever. It's not like Picasso's or whatever.
No, no, no. I mean, there are really good ones.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So they empty, sorry. The today empty frames remain in the, I'm on the website.
What I think so interesting too is whomever did that heist obviously knew that the paintings couldn't be moved or changed, because why would you cut them out? Unless it's a very popular art scam to like cut out of the frame, just take the frame.
I don't know. So there's a podcast specifically about this called Last Scene, and it was done by the Boston Globe and I think WBUR, like the Boston Public Radio station. And one of the things they said, which is like very funny to me, is like you think about an art heist as like a sophisticated gentleman criminal, but it's like it's the same guy who steals anything valuable and sells it. Like it's the same guy who would like steal a car and sell a car.
Sure. So,
and that's not, I'm not being like, this is a garbage person. But what I mean is like, it's not a different fancy class of criminal.
Type
it's
of
just
criminal,
like,
right.
Yeah, it's just a guy who, this is how he makes his living. And so, okay, it says the empty frames remain hanging in the museum as a placeholder for the missing works and symbols of hope awaiting their return. But so maybe the other thing is an apocryphal story that I picked up somewhere, but the empty frames are still there, which I think is like very visually fascinating.
Yeah, that doesn't seem hopeful to me. It seems kind of embarrassing.
Awaiting their return. Give it up, guys.
Yeah, it's been
they're
30
years.
They're
not going to walk back. Yeah. No.
Dad went out for cigarettes. He's not coming back.
Yeah. He's got a new life.
So I recommend that. It's a narrative true crime podcast where like it's not just like, and they cut him up into 100 pieces and left each piece in a different county.
Yeah, I can't.
I love a narrative true crime about like kind of nothing, like a low stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love
and
that.
It's,
yeah.
And it's both high stakes in that the value of the art is so much, but low stakes in that you're not like every episode, you're not like, oh, I hope they're okay. You're like,
yeah.
It's just stuff. And
no
so,
one's dead.
And they stole, this was like expensive art, but it was not, you know, curated fancy. So I think they just cut it out of the frames for like speed, like rather than like unbolt them from the wall. They were just like, quick, 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 and then ran with them.
What if it was like her grandson? Who was like, I'm so sick of my grandma with this stupid trust, and I'm just going to cut him out and show her.
And then rolls him up, sends him to 23andMe.
And I was like, can I get these baptized?
Please bless these paintings.
Yes.
Okay, Beth, can you baptize? Yeah, this is a painting of this guy. The guy in this painting is definitely dead.
Yeah.
the frame is waiting for him to return. I got to send them back.
Send his ass
They're
to heaven.
Frames.
Hilarious.
But that is my favorite scam of all time. Unsolved, hundreds of millions, I think, adjusted value of art between paintings and like, yeah.
That's so weird because can't they trace the painting, like to see where the paintings end up in other places?
I don't think they've shown up though.
Oh.
They've tracked them.
No, I'm sure.
Yeah.
If you sell it on the black market, it's for your own personal collection or overseas and not museum overseas.
Right.
Like collectors.
Just some guy who's like, hey, where'd you get
some
these paintings?
Guy.
And they're like, don't worry about it. Like,
at a carnival.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I threw a ping pong ball into a cup and this guy gave me this Monet.
It was $80. Yeah. He felt bad for me.
But that is my favorite. The podcast is so good. I recommend it all the time.
Last Scene?
Last Scene, S-E-E-N. I love an art heist. I love a heist.
Me too.
It is.
Me too. They're delightful.
I forget who it was. It was maybe Jesse David Fox, who writer and editor at Vulture, host of the Good One podcast, and Demi Ejiwebe were tweeting about heist movies the other night. And it spurred that I think it might be my favorite genre of movie.
It's like stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. Or like stealing from the rich.
Yes.
There's no consequences.
Yeah, because art is subjective.
You know, heist, right? When you call it a heist, you're not just like, I punch this guy and I take his wallet. You're talking about the stakes of like, this person has so much that it's called a heist when
there's
steal from him.
There's a craft to it usually. Yeah, there's like a lot of thinking involved.
You get a gang together like Ocean's 11. Like, that's fun. I love that.
One person's good at numbers. One person's good with access.
Yes.
It's like everybody has their skill.
Yep.
Yeah, I love it.
It's so fun. It's such a fun genre movie. But Sue, you're totally right. In a heist, you know, sometimes things go badly. Like Reservoir Dogs about a heist gone badly, right? But it's never like, oh, you shouldn't steal all that. Come on.
Right, exactly. It's like these people no. deserve to be stolen from.
Yes.
The villain is often the victim.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly, which is great. You're like rooting for bad things to happen. And for George Clooney to like call Andy Garcia and be like, I stole all your casino money or whatever.
And it feels good. It feels like you stole the money as well. You feel validated as a viewer.
I would love that.
Josh, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
So lovely. And guys, if you've loved listening to Josh as much as we have, his new podcast is a comedy game show podcast called Make My Day. Check it out. It's so good. It's weekly.
Every Tuesday. Yes, Josh, you're the best. Thank you for coming on.
You're such a delight.
You are such delights. This was like truly a pleasure and a thrill, and I appreciate you having me on.
Yay.
Oh, thank you so much. And good luck with your packages. And don't ever be embarrassed about wanting a refund.
Thank you.
Yeah, and just don't get scammed, Josh. I worry about you.
I worry about me.
Or send screenshots of all your texts and we will confirm with you. We'll be like, that's a scam. That's real. That's actually a grandmother. That's a lying grandmother. We'll tell you.
I get so, I will like call anything. If anyone sends me anything that's like, because I know how trusting I am. If someone sends me a thing that's like, hey, this is your bank or whatever, log in and blah, blah, blah. I'll like call the bank and be like, did you just email me the bank? Like I'm so old and so.
No, that's exactly what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, you know what it was recently? Was like some place that I'd written for wrote to me and they were like, hey, we think like this check got sent to the wrong address and it never got deposited. Can you resend your information and we'll resend you the check? And I like called someone that I know that works there and was like, is this real or is somebody trying to rip me off? Yeah, steal my identity.
Was it real?
It was real, yeah.
Oh, good. No, but usually it's not. I'm impressed that it was real.
Yeah. I was worried because I had to go to this person and be like, sorry for the delay emailing you. I thought you might have been a fake person because I've never heard of you before.
Don't know you, bitch. Not going to send you my numbers.
Yeah. Oh, Josh.
So thank you.
I love it. Josh, thanks again. This was so great. Thank you. You're such a delight. And we appreciate you taking all your time to chat with us.
Oh, such a joy. I had so much fun.
And guys, if you have been scammed on a Josh Gondelman level, please let us know.
Oh, I don't like that I'm my own tier of scams.
If you've been scamming carnivals, tech packages, carnivals, right. You know.
Carnivals, fake horny women. Yeah.
You can always.
If someone just takes your stuff and thinks you're not going to do anything about it.
You name it. If you're a haunted bear that sits on a shelf, let us know.
We want to hear from those bears.
I'll email you a picture of the bear, too. It's so horrible.
I want it. We're using it in our Instagram photo of you. Okay. This is Josh and his bear. I can't wait. Yeah, guys, you can always reach out to us. And like I said before, you can call our hot tip hotline, which is 347-509.
You had it.
Oh, yeah. I had it memorized. I had it. Hold on. Now I'm all nervous. Go ahead.
509-9414.
Yep, that's it. I think. Sure, why not? Just call us.
And you can always email us at scamwildpodcast@gmail.com or check out our website for old episodes, for our Patreon, for merch, any of that good stuff.
And we love you guys and hang in there. We're all just
don't get scammed.
Crawling through this year. But it's almost over, thank God.
Thank God. All right, we'll see you next week.
Thanks. Bye.
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 Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.